The teach-out, as it was called, concluded on March 31st. 13 students left high and dry when Sheldon Jackson suspended its academic program in June of 2007, enrolled in the teach-out. 10 of them finished their SJ degrees at the University of Alaska. On March 31st, Sheldon Jackson lost its accreditation as a college.
And the accreditation was in place simply for the benefit of the students in the teach-out.
And these students, they can consider themselves Sheldon Jackson alumni?
The last of the Sheldon Jackson alumni, yes.
David Harrington is the former Dean of Academic Affairs at Sheldon Jackson College. 30 years ago, he became a nurse and worked his way through graduate school. He's a nurse again now at Sitka Community Hospital. Harrington and Registrar Kathy Newman oversaw the teach-out with the university over the past 2 years. He regards the college now only in the past tense.
That institution is over. I suppose another institution named Sheldon Jackson could come back, but it would have to go through relicensure, reaccreditation, and certainly the obstacles in terms of getting faculty, staff, and most of all the infrastructure in place is, I think, insurmountable.
They would indeed have to submit a new application as if they were a new institution.
Stephanie Butler is the Director of Operations for the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. She leaves little room for doubt about SJ's status.
Sheldon Jackson is no longer authorized to offer post-secondary education in Alaska. Should the institution wish to do so at some future date, it would need to apply to do so, and it would also need to get accreditation.
The loss of accreditation and the loss of its authorization to operate from the state represent the official end of existence for the college. Although Sheldon Jackson is deeply in debt, this is not an academic version of bankruptcy. The school will not pick itself up and dust itself off and soldier on. Sandra Ellman is president of the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities, the organization that accredits schools in this region. She visited SJ several times since 1997 and observed firsthand SJ's slow spiral. Ellman says March 31st carried a sense of finality for the school, but also a sense of hope.
There is certainly a period at the end of the sentence, so to speak, and there is a closing to the book of Sheldon Jackson College, but that doesn't mean that there may not be a new book with a new title and a new set of circumstances.
Having lost its accreditation, Sheldon Jackson would have to wait at least 2 years before approaching the NCCU to reapply. Conceivably, another school could operate the college under the umbrella of its accreditation until Sheldon Jackson or whatever institution emerges there could apply in its own right. On one of her last visits to SJ in 2007, before the college closed, Ellman got the sense that students were well served, but there simply weren't the resources to move forward. Nevertheless, she feels that there is promise for the future.
Sheldon Jackson College is sitting in probably one of the most beautiful parts of the country. It's sitting in an area in which one could have programs that build upon the environmental context in which Sheldon Jackson was located, with fisheries, with environmental studies, with wildlife, with just a whole range of programs that could really produce a vibrant institution. But clearly there has to be a board to oversee it, there has to be resources, etc.
Since the closure of the campus, the Board of Trustees has been attempting to liquidate the school's real estate in order to pay down debt, which was most recently reported by the Presbyterian News Service in October at $13 million. The 160-acre campus has been subdivided to make selling lots easier. The core academic quadrangle has been preserved in the hope that it could be conveyed to some academic entity, possibly to the state, for a VOTEC school. Beneva Bibbs is the Associate for Racial, Ethnic, and Women's Ministries with the Presbyterian Church USA. She's saddened by what's occurred at the college, but hopeful it can rise like a phoenix from the ashes. Financial support from the Presbyterian Church will be suspended in May. Getting it back will be a tall order for a non-existent college.
They have to show an enrollment of racial, ethnic students. They have to provide evidence of commitment to the mission goals of the General Assembly Council. They have to provide a strategic plan for the institution's continued operation.
According to a March 25th report submitted by SJ President David Dobler to the Presbyterian General Assembly Council, the college received $34,000 from the church in November. Dobler wrote that the money was, quote, essential to maintaining the minimal administrative capacity necessary for the restructure and to control the disposition of assets, close quote. He wrote that the school's debt was $7 million, roughly half of what the Presbyterian News Service published a few months earlier. He made no mention of either the school's loss of accreditation or state authorization. Bibbs, who is an ex officio member of the Sheldon Jackson Board of Trustees, was unwilling to concede that the funding was provided to allow SJ to conclude its business.
I'm not willing to answer that one.
All right. Well,
because I don't know if conclude its business is the appropriate phrase.
Bibbs instead described a school that apparently still lives in the view of the church hierarchy.
What we're aware of is that Sheldon Jackson chose to take an administrative year to review where it is and to help resolve some of the financial debt that they had incurred by selling some of their property.
The Sheldon Jackson campus was closed and over 100 faculty and staff were laid off on 24 hours notice in June of 2007. An unsigned form letter from the Board of Trustees thanking staff for their service circulated in town. In some ways, it symbolized the disconnect that remains today over what Sheldon Jackson was and what it has become. David Harrington.
When the closure occurred, there were lots of conversations, and there was a lot of anger about the fact that the people who were majorly involved in running the college were not involved in the conversations about keeping the college going or how to get the college going.
Harrington says the current economy may stand between the trustees and their plans to convey the campus intact to some entity that will revive it. And he says it is a pity. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.